Okay, we're checking in again with Ron Iacobucci from the Mass Higher Career Center here on the South Shore in Quincy to get a little update. Ron, it's been a little bit. Happy New Year, first of all.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Joe, to you.
Here we are.
It'll be a better one than last year, right?
Let's hope. So far, it's been the 14th month of 2020, but we're hoping for better times ahead for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The first time I was on in this situation was at the very beginning. I think it was almost a year ago now. And I was on 5 months after that, and I thought that by then we'd be out of it. And then it's been 5 months since then, and here we are, and we're still in it. So things are getting better, though. I mean, just to give an example, in Quincy alone, you know, the last time I was on, I think back at the end of August, September, our unemployment rate here was about 12%. It's now 7.1%. So we are moving in the right direction relative to that. But there's still a lot of folks out there that are, you know, struggling. And, you know, we practiced the three C's. I added a fourth C. You know, we talk about our customers. That's the focus. We talk about communication, collaboration, and I've added compassion. You know, we really need that. And I think we demonstrate that with the team that we have, compassion for one another. It hasn't been easy. But most importantly, compassion for the people that we serve, the job seekers, the employers out there that are struggling. And, you know, that's really makes a difference. And we have a lot of passionate people that are working on that. I mean, we still see, even though we're physically closed, I don't like to describe it as closed, the Career Center, and eventually we will return to what I call in-person services. We have, you know, adapted and adjusted to working virtually. We're still in what we call phase two of our four-phase plan, which is to continue to work in that state. And we are serving people. We see a minimum of 120 people a week by Zoom. Job seekers that want to come in and that are looking for help and looking for work, looking for training. Over the past fiscal year, from July to the end of December, that first half of the fiscal year, we serviced over 2,500 job seekers in that situation, and we've tried to help over 3,000 folks relative to their unemployment. Although we are very limited in what we can do with that, because as you know, the Career Center is not the unemployment office. Although we deal with people that are unemployed, we're not the unemployment office, and we're limited, unfortunately, in what we can do. And at the beginning, when we, you know, about a year ago, we had a number of our staff dedicated to dealing with UI, because the priority was always get people, you know, they're into the system, get them their benefits. That's the priority right now while things are kind of, you know, closed down. But, you know, it's been unprecedented numbers, and I'm not, you know, going to complain about the folks that are working unemployment, because they're overwhelmed. But there's been just, I mean, there's so many people that are struggling with it. And we're, like I said, we're limited in what we could do. I've been advocating working with some of our local legislators to get more credentials for our people so we can help our customers. So if a customer comes into our Career Center virtually and they're looking for assistance and they're unemployed and they have a problem with unemployment, we'd like to be able to help them with that. And that takes a lot of pressure off the system. There's been a lot of fraud that's been going on. I mean, I know so many people that have been touched by that, and then it complicates things because now they're getting the 1099s for money that they didn't get. And that's another mess that has to be fixed. And so, you know, I'm pretty firm in four things before we can return to in-person services. The science has to dictate that, so we're safe. Our employees are safe and our customers are safe. The unions have to weigh in on that. You know, 2/3 of the people that work in the Career Center are represented by a union and a collective bargaining agreement. So they have to have a say relative to their workers. The vaccination. I mean, you know, you want to, you know, do we vaccinate our own employees before they can come back? Do we vaccinate the customers before they can come in? And then the big thing is the last thing that I mentioned, UI. You know, we have to clean up that mess, because if we don't, you know, we will be overwhelmed when we return to in-person services, because people have no place to go. You know, they struggle to connect on the phone. They struggle, you know, with the computer to deal with their claim. They need a place to go. And the unemployment office at the Hurley Building in Boston is closed. So I've been advocating that they create some regional centers around the state. We have a lot of empty buildings, a lot of empty convention centers. We could do it safely. It'll give people a place to go so they don't have a phone, you know, that doesn't answer, or a computer that they can't navigate. And they really, you know, need that in order to get their benefits squared away. And it's been a problem. I mean, we've had so many people, and the stories, you know, that I could tell you, it kills you. I mean, people need the money, and people, you know, need to pay the rent and buy food and you know, take care of their families. And we're just struggling with so many delays. And so hopefully we can, you know, find a solution to that. And I think once that gets settled, you know, then we could focus on what the career centers are supposed to be doing, you know, getting people jobs. And, you know, that's going to be the big challenge. And the one good thing is that we're going to be getting more money in our allocation. Unfortunately, as I described before, the unemployment rate is low, we get less money. When the unemployment rate is high, we get more. And so hopefully we'll be able to do more. I think, you know, one of the big things that we're focused on is training. I think that makes a difference. A lot of the people who lost their jobs are low income, you know, not as highly educated, and really the focus has to be on that. And one of the things I've been advocating, I give you an example, just in Quincy alone, we've identified over 300 folks that have self-identified in their unemployment claim that they can't speak English. So now is the time to teach these people how to speak English. And let's invest some of that CARES Act money in that effort, because then we're going to have a better person that we can find employment for. You know, we've identified a lot of the folks that are mature workers that can't navigate a computer. Let's invest some CARES Act money into training those people. So when we're dealing with them and we come out of all of this, you know, they can speak English and they can work on a computer, they're going to be a better, you know, candidate, and we can provide them with more training. So maybe they could get a better job than they had when this all started. And maybe that job isn't even there anymore. So
yeah, who doesn't,
you know, we're working with all those things. And I hope maybe when I come back in a few months from now, it'll be a different thing, because it feels like, you know, as I was saying before, you know, everything will change, nothing will change. And I like to look at it as if nothing will change, everything can change. And we're trying to work to make that happen.
So. Yeah. Who designates, Ron, where that CARES Act money goes? Is that up to the governor?
That's our public officials that need to weigh in on that. And I know there's a lot of demand for that. And I know, you know, there was the CARES Act, obviously, something at the end of last year that the Congress enacted, extended benefits, unemployment benefits, and also provided that additional $300, but that's going to run out. So we really need, you know, I guess a fresh effort down in Washington to infuse more aid, you know, to foster this recovery that we're talking about. And that's really where we need to be. And hopefully that's going to be coming. And I know that, you know, that's obviously a priority of the Biden administration, and hopefully it could be a bipartisan effort. That's what I'd like to see that comes of it. But we really need to, you know, be putting more money into reemployment, putting more money into training. That's, you know, we're estimating 30% of the jobs that are lost. I mean, you had probably, at least 30% of the people are not going to go back to the jobs they had. And that's where we need to focus on, what do we do with those folks? Because those are the folks that are going to be at our doorstep in the next month or two as things continue to move in the right direction. And that's where the training makes a difference, and really working those connections between the, you know, the employers, the demand of what's out there, and fitting the job seekers into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get people back to work. And that's where we need to be. And we need that assistance, you know, relative to the recovery. So
what jobs are those, Ron, that aren't coming back? You know,
most of them are in the, you know, the business. I mean, I had a meeting the other day with the head of the local 26, which represents all the restaurant workers, the hotel workers. He has almost 12,000 people that are out of work right now.
Wow. And,
you know, those are the people that are going to be most impacted and affected, you know, that maybe might not come back. But there are jobs out there that we could, you know, connect them to with the right training and the right support. And that's what we need to be working on. And to that end, you know, it's a collaborative effort. I mean, it can't just be our career center. You know, we cover 22 towns from Quincy, right down Route 3, South Shore, the coast, down to Plymouth. But we've got to be collaborating with other Mass Hire, you know, regions and centers, because these workers are all over the Commonwealth. And it's that combined effort that I think is going to hopefully, you know, make a difference is people, you know, come in virtually to the Career Center by either calling in or going on our website. You know, that's how they connect. They get a job seeker ID number, and then we triage them from there and work with them, you know, from A to Z until they're successfully employed. And like I said, you know, we see about 120 of those folks every week, thousands since the beginning of the fiscal year. You know, it's going to be driven, more of it going to be driven in, because right now sanctions relative to unemployment are not being enforced. Once those sanctions come back, then anybody who's unemployed that's collecting benefits has to come into the Career Center and go through the process. Right now they don't. So all of these people that are coming in that I just described, they're all voluntarily coming in. Right. They're not being threatened that their benefits are going to be cut off if they don't come in and participate in the process. So once that comes back, you're going to see us being overwhelmed with people, because, you know, they're going to want to keep their benefits. They're going to have to start, you know, being accountable relative to looking for a job and that sort of thing. Yeah. So that's going to put more pressure on us, but hopefully at that point we'll have more resources to deal with it. And the things that I talked about before, those four things that will drive us back to in-person services, will be satisfied, and we can be able to handle people, you know, back at the career centers, yeah, which is important. So
good time to remind people too that unemployment is taxable, right?
I could never understand why, and I think there have been efforts by certain legislators to kind of change that. I mean, you know, you're giving people these benefits, they're in tough shape, and then you're going to tax the money that you're giving them. I mean, that just doesn't, to me, I just can't figure that out. But it is true, and people will be getting a 1099 relative to that. And some people who have been a victim of fraud will get a 1099 relative to that too, and they'll have to straighten that out. And I know a lot of people are in that situation, which is just crazy.
So, yeah, but I mean, a lot of folks have never received unemployment before, so that might be a surprise to them, you know,
Yeah, and even some of the people, you know, that went through the process and reported that, you know, that a fraud had been committed, they're still getting their 1099. So again, the system, everything is a process. So people just have to go through that process to get it straightened out. And I know the latest, you know, the IRS is not dealing with it. They're saying you've got to go to the source, and the source has to correct it. And that's DUA, the Department of Unemployment Assistance. And that's where people have to go to get that cleared up. I mean, to the extent that we could help our customers, we're trying to do that. But as I said, you know, we're limited. I've been fighting for the last couple of months to get these people better credentials so they could do more to help people that are our customers that have unemployment insurance issues. And it hasn't happened. So it's frustrating for me, it's frustrating for them, because at the beginning, as I was describing before, when this all hit, we had a number of people that transitioned over there. They were fully trained, fully credentialed, and they were able to help people because they had access to everything. Now, you know, we don't have that. And I don't understand why that, they can't restore those credentials, and that we could be helping more people that are coming, you know, to us for assistance. So
yeah, and you have to wonder too how that will impact in the future if they ever do need unemployment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's there are a lot of people, you know, for the first time, received this benefit. I mean, you know, they're new to it. And it's been extended. I mean, it's not just regular unemployment. They've also have the, you know, pandemic unemployment assistance, which allows gig workers, contracted workers, self-employed people to participate. But the problem with that is they contracted that out. They had to design a whole new system for that because there are different requirements. And we don't have access to that data. You know? So there's a lot of stuff out there that we don't know, because it's, you know, and that has to be another thing that has to be corrected, because our career center should have access to that data. We do need to know who those people are. We do need to be working with those people. And that's important too, because, you know, they're going to be looking for jobs. They're going to be looking to get back into the workforce, and you know, it's like two separate systems. You know, we have to be collaborating and working together if we're going to benefit all of these people.
The people that did go back to work, Ron, did they go back to their old jobs or did they go to different jobs?
Yeah, I mean, some of them, you know, most of them, yes, but a lot of them, no. And there are a lot of opportunities that are out there. I think, you know, people, if people are interested and they're listening to this and they want to, you know, plug in, you know, call our number, which is the 617-745-4000 number. Somebody will get back to them and plug them into this system and connect them to some of these opportunities. You could also go on our website, which is, you know, masshiresouthshorecc.com. And, you know, that's another way. There's a form there that they could fill out and send in. But if they're not good with filling out forms and sending those things in, they could give us a call. Somebody will get back to them sooner rather than later. Because, you know, when we were dealing a year ago and the unemployment was so low, employers were desperate to find people to fill certain jobs. Now it's the reverse. I mean, you've got so many people that are out there. It's a lot more competitive. So the sooner you can get back into training, into the workforce, the better off you're going to be. Yeah. Because it's just, you know, you don't want to get into a category where you're long-term unemployed and then you're struggling and your benefits run out. I mean, we talk about in Quincy, for example, a 7% unemployment rate, but I always look at the participation rate. And like back in the fall, it was at 50%. So 50% of those who could participate weren't working. That number's worse than talking about 12% back then that were unemployed. So you have to look at that participation rate. The participation rate in Quincy, for example, right now is like around 57%. So 57% of the workforce that could be working is working. What the hell is everybody else doing?
Right.
I don't know. That's the problem, you know? Yeah. And we need to focus on that because, you know, unemployment runs out and they're not counted anymore. So even though that rate might be coming down from what I described back in the fall, 12% to 7%, you know, people are still not working. That's the participation rate. And that's a problem, you know, because we're not counting those people. We're not factoring that in. And we have to be aware of that. And plan for that and budget for that and provide the resources necessary to help those people falling into the long-term unemployed, people that give up, you know, looking for a job.
Yeah. Is there financial assistance for continuing education available?
Yeah, we reserve 30% of the budget that we're allocated for what we call ITAs, individual training accounts. And we try to work very closely with the community colleges. We've been building that relationship with our own Quincy College. Yeah. You know, they're in a position to adapt and adjust to what the needs are. So if we're identifying these are the jobs, this is what the training we need, they can provide that. We can plug people in. People end up with a job. I mean, that's the key. You don't want to be spending money on training people for something that doesn't exist. So we're always looking at our labor market. we're looking at, you know, collecting that kind of data, looking at where opportunities are and then training appropriately to that, trying to plug the right people in and give them the opportunity. And most of those people are those low income wage earners that I described that, you know, are probably going to lose their jobs forever and need, you know, to another opportunity to get to the next level of where they have to be.
Yeah. So what is emerging? What is going to be, you know, some of the areas that are to be growing?
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at that all the time. I mean, for example, if you look at accommodations and food services in our region, those 22 communities, over 17,000 unemployment claims were filed in that one category alone. That's a lot. Healthcare, social assistance, over 13,000 in that category. You look at retail, 12,000 unemployment claims since the beginning of this pandemic. Construction, over almost 9,000. So, you know, those are some of the places that were hardest hit. And like I described before, you know, a lot of those places probably will come back, but a lot of them won't. A good solid, probably we're estimating 25-30% of those jobs won't come back no matter what we do. I mean, in Quincy alone right now, we subscribe to something called Burning Glass, and that's a system that collects all this data of job orders and opportunities. I mean, in Quincy alone, there are 931 jobs right now that need to be filled. Can you believe that?
No.
So if you're interested in a job, come and plug into the Career Center and we'll find those opportunities for you. I mean, we've got them broken down by city and town in our region and then by employer. I mean, Amazon is a big factor in this. I mean, they're looking to fill hundreds of jobs, and that might not be appealing to some people, but there are opportunities out there. Healthcare is another area that is going to be very much in demand as we move forward. You know, there are certain things that are growing. We're trying to get a handle on that so we can be, as I described before, directing people to the right, you know, places in terms of where the jobs are. And if training is needed, you know, we're providing that because we have the resources to do that. And, you know, we could work with people if people want to come in and connect. I would, you know, strongly encourage that. And that's, you know, where we're at right now in terms of the process. It's not easy. I mean, you know, our people that are working at the Career Center are all working remotely. They've been doing that for the last 10 months, but they've been functioning. They've been able to, you know, to zoom in like we're doing here with customers. We've done a lot of stuff online with workshops and job fairs and recruitments. Everything is done virtually. I know that, you know, this is something that probably won't go away. I mean, in some respects, we're probably going to continue this new normal when we come back. But you know, in many respects, it's helped us, you know, connect better with people, communicate better with people. But I you know, people struggle with this too. And that's where, you know, we need to identify folks that have, that can sharpen up their computer skills. There are so many opportunities that we can make available to them to help them with that right now. And like I said before, make them a better fit, you know, for a job. Because if they can't speak English and they can't deal with a computer, you know, they're going to be hard to market for us.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things we need to be focused on and working on right now.
Yeah. All right. Again, if you could give out the contact information for the Career Center.
Yeah, it's if people want to call by phone, it's 617-745-4000. And, you know, they'll probably get the voicemail, but we do monitor that every day. We have two people on it, and then they take it from there in terms of connecting back with people and then putting them in the right place to move on their adventure through the Career Center. Or you can go on MassHire, South Shore, cc.com and connect that way too. www.masshiresouthshorecc.com and connect through the website. There is a form there that people can fill out and submit, and then we would again get back to them. And there is a process. The key is to get that job seeker ID number, and that's the gateway, you know, to all the services and programs that we have. And I would strongly encourage people to take advantage of that. And to the extent that we could try to get those credentials for UI, we could be doing better with our customers, helping them with that too, because that is a big problem.
Okay. Well, a little nudge to the legislature might help.
No, you know, they're, I tell you, they're just as frustrated. They're getting a lot of calls too that I'm aware of from constituents that are struggling, and they do the best they can to help. But, you know, it's we could do more if they give us those credentials. We could, you know, solve some of those problems, hopefully. And, clearing up some of the other issues relative to unemployment, you know, that people have been kind of struggling with too. So.
Right. Appreciate the update, Ron. Good to see you.
Yeah, Joe, thank you. Stay safe. And we'll be back again sooner rather than later with more information. You know, we welcome this opportunity, and we thank everybody at QATV for the work that you're doing to keep us all, you know, in the loop, informed, and aware of what's happening in the community. It's very, very important. So.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And hopefully in person again real soon.
Yeah, I could hardly wait. It's like I was saying before, you know, the common expression on these Zooms is, you know, you're muted, and that button that's so valuable. When we go back to in person, we won't have that button anymore. So, it's going to be, you know, it'll be interesting. But you know what? We need to do that. I mean, we really need to have that connection and that contact. So I'm all for that. I would never mute anybody in person. So looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks again. Be well.
Thanks, Joe. You too. Take care.